Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's time for another splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 30 Rack Way, the beautiful Buckatorium, lovely New Windsor, Illinois. I'm Steve. In the studio today is Doug.
Hello.
Eric.
Yo.
Kurt.
Hey.
And making a quick return here, Moneybags Mark Reif. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Mark?
Not much. Made the drive to New Windsor.
All bucked out, even though season's over, but bucked out.
Still carrying bone around with me.
Hey, Illinois boys, we bucked out.
We killed it, buddy.
Chandler bucked out.
Did you bring any money with you?
Bags full. You're going to have to help me carry it in, though.
That's fine. I can do that.
Lots of coins.
To my truck.
Lots of coins. That's fair.
That's why I got the crew cap.
Dude, where do you buy those burlap sacks with the dollar signs on them? I'm curious about that.
Can't tell anybody.
This podcast is presented by HHA Sports. The new Tetras are out. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome stuff. Single pin sights. If you're unfamiliar with a single pin setup, I suggest you try it. We all like it.
Got to at least try it.
I think it changed my archery game.
They work.
Give me a whirl. They do work.
They work.
And it's not as bad in a hunting situation as you said, as everyone thinks. I just can't imagine it in a hunting. Well, what if that happens to the deer moves? I'm like, well, you're going to range it anyway, right? I don't know. I just became a better shot because I find myself doing less guessing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about scent crushers?
So, dude, scent crusher is the number one game changer in my life because, I live at Doug's house and I'm a pretty stinky human being and he hasn't complained about the stench yet. So scent crusher's been really, really helping me adapt to normal life.
So you use it. How do you use it at your daily life to keep Doug from smelling you?
So usually I just try to confine myself into my room, and I assume that the stench would just go out into the rest of the house. Well, not with the room clean. So I usually run a cycle of the room clean, once every 30 minutes. So I'll set my alarm. I'll wake up every 30 minutes when that thing goes off. I'm sleeping at night and turn it back on.
Is that why your alarm goes off?
Yeah, that's why my alarm, because I can't wake up. I usually make it about three times through the night.
I get up at 4:30. And his alarm is going off, and he does not stop.
And he's still sleeping.
I don't know how he sleeps through. He has three
alarms.
He's
a lunatic.
It's weird, dude. I cannot wake up with alarms.
I'm bad in the morning too, but I still get up.
That's rough. It's hard to hear through the scent crusher closet.
Sleeping in there like a vampire, standing up.
All of a sudden, the zipper comes down. It's time to wake up.
I start a full blast.
That's funny as well.
That's how I start my morning.
Podcast is also brought to you by Thermoset. We podcasted with Joey at ATA. Awesome dude. Really cool company, kind of the way his old man started that. Mm-hmm. And they make the seats for Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Also, Victory Archery. We're all shooting I'm shooting RIP TKOs. Well, we all are.
Yep.
RIP TKOs. Man, have I shot the hell out of those arrows. I've shot a lot of shit with some Victory arrows. I love them, man. I really do.
I'm excited to see the Extortion SS. We talked to...
Devin.
Yeah, we talked to Devin at ATA, and he was explaining it. And they got a cool video. If you go to victorarchery.com, they got that video that he talked about. And it's
shooting that shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm. I think it was like
the femur,
hard shoulder.
I don't know what it was, a thick bone.
Oh, yeah.
It was a super thick bone. I'm not a chiropractor. I don't know bones, so.
Podcast also brought to you by Elite Archery. All currently, I'm shooting the original 35, or did shoot it this past season.
I am too.
Would 35, Doug?
The 30.
Mark?
The 33 original.
Damn. Yeah, I had the 30, and now I got the I was shooting the working class edition bow, but yeah, hopefully we get that 30 back just in time.
The for dirty 30 is about to knock some turkeys down.
Ooh, yeah, we're gonna smack some Iowa birds, boy.
I just got my first tag for Illinois.
Screwed turkeys
yesterday.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm kidding.
You like turkeys, Eric?
No,
I like shooting them when they come by.
They got to come by for you to shoot them. That's my problem.
Well, yeah, but
they never walk by.
It's because you never had a bourbon barrel call before, especially working class edition. That's available true, on workingclassbowhunter.com.
Oh, good plug. Good plug.
That was pretty
good.
Nice.
Yeah, they once you order them, they are made to order, and then Mr. Johnny Utah ships them out. So I think like 7 to 10 day lead on those because they're custom made. Also brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear. The Ambush available. The 1.0 helped a lot of deer die this season. It helped me kill a couple good bucks. And stay mobile out there. Check out the DeQuisto Series podcast here on the Working Class Bowhunter channel, or whatever the fuck you want to refer to it as.
Yeah, go to YouTube and check out the video.
Yeah, yeah, or do that. Big time. Hunter's Blend Coffee. Old Barn Taxidermy. I'm excited to get my critters back, man.
I got to mention about Big Time that you said that the Nitro is now available for order. Oh. So if you go to bigtime.com, you can go ahead and order the Nitro.
It's feeding time.
Yeah, you guys are. Yeah, it is feeding time for you boys, especially now. Mm-hmm. You, Steve, for your first time, you get to feed deer.
Yeah, awesome. Shit, hopefully I'll let them grow long enough to where they don't have spots before I shoot them.
All that milk finally disappeared around their lips.
Come on, bro, you got to grow up fast.
Eat this.
Grow fast, my young one.
It's fucked up.
Kind of fucked up.
I am excited to get my critters back from Old Barn, though. Hopefully we'll have Sam in studio here soon. This weekend, studio construction weekend.
It is.
So should be pretty awesome.
It'll be a busy weekend.
Yes, yes. We got so next week we have Clint Casper. I think is joining the show. And if I had an applause sound effect ready, I would have played it right after that. Thank you. Thank you. That was good.
Participation, Eric.
And then what else? Oh, our last episode for season two is on Carbon TV. Last episode of season two is now on Carbon TV, and that is Scent Crusher and Bone Collector, and Waddell jumps in.
Is there a question mark behind that?
I fucking forgot.
That was a long time ago.
It was. I mean, we filmed it ATA 2019.
Yeah. Yep.
And we just launched it out. So, well, I don't know. I don't think we're going to do more carbon. Maybe we will. But as of right now, I don't think we're going to.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Anyway, you got a veteran shout out? I feel like everybody like is kind of out of steam.
In a slump.
What the fuck's going on?
It's the weather. It's the weather. I don't know. No,
Still over from the party.
Yeah, we had our annual garage party last weekend, so we're kind of tired.
I feel like no one's drinking. the vet shout-out, I do want to give a shout-out to, and we've shouted him out before, but he's a really good dude. Vet shout-out this week is our buddy Steve Allen. He made the booth for us.
Yeah.
I'll give a big shout-out to that guy. Not only thank you for your service to this country, you know, thank you for all the support over the years, and just, you know, supporting the show and all of us. I do apologize. We will be playing some Call of Duty here pretty soon, buddy. So I'm not ignoring you. I just want to give you that.
That guy is getting some, like, really cool military-themed sleeve done, tattoo sleeve done.
Yeah.
It's insane looking. And that guy makes, like, really cool just wood anything. But he makes, like, these really cool flags and stuff. And he'll make, like, gun cases. And he was talking about doing, like, a flag bow case, like hangs up on your wall and it opens up and your bow can be in there.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's like a wizard with wood. It's insane.
A wood wizard.
He's very good. Yeah, well, man, we need to get him on and have him just shoot the shit.
I asked him, he's like, I'm a fisherman.
Don't matter.
I'm like, that's fair.
Here's the booth. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Just make this booth and get the fuck out of my face.
Piss off, Lou.
Like, all right, that's fair. Thanks for your service, man. Thank you.
But yeah, awesome guy.
Just want to give that guy a shout out. If you do have a vet shout out, go to workingclassbowhunter.com. Under the contact tab, there is a vet shout out submission form. Go ahead and fill that out. Give me as much information that you want to share and name pronunciations. Sometimes they help.
I feel like all we're doing is plugging shit we got going on, but this is important. So I had a get together with some fine folks yesterday afternoon. I was going to wait to launch this until next week, but I think we got the green light. So the shoot this year, people have been messaging already, which blows my mind. We are doing it open to the public this year. There's no more private registration. We don't have to worry about space or capacity or anything like that. We teamed up with a really great local archery club to us, Galesburg Archery Club. It's in Ryo, Illinois. So it's right by Galesburg, Illinois. It pretty much is in Galesburg.
Yeah, essentially.
It's going to be a 30-target 3D shoot. We're going to be doing prize giveaways, drawings for prizes and sponsors and that, and then we're doing some like long-range shooting, some competition, like all fun stuff. But that is, I think, registration 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you have to register to be eligible for prizes and stuff. But it's 30 targets. Come hang out. No alcohol on the range, but we can drink beer over by our little beer garden. And it's going to be a good time. So that is June 20th, Father's Day weekend, Saturday.
Damn, about 4 months away.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay here before we know it.
I will have the webpage done here in a couple of days, and I'll have all the events and stuff up. That way everyone can get the information there. But it's exciting, man.
It's a fine course. I mean, me and Doug shot that a couple times, and that's where we discovered the wild horses of Galesburg.
Dude, they're out there.
They're out there, man.
We've all shot it a few times.
Yeah, and it's only like 10 minutes from the studio now, so.
Dope.
We have to get on over there.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Their indoor range in Galesburg is really cool. It's like old World War II buildings, I guess, from Galesburg. Mm-hmm. Like really long, brick, crazy-looking buildings, mm-hmm. and they got like the whole archery range in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Sweet.
Like, you could probably shoot 50, 60 yards indoors if you want.
Oh, that's a damn. Damn. Mm-hmm.
And then I think if you join as a member, you get 24-hour access and to their 3D range.
Dude, I loved a lot of people were doing that. The shop that Poppy went to, they had like the key access. So I think your dad had up where he's at too.
My dad, Kishawaukee Archers up in Sycamore.
That's a
good club.
I'm glad a lot of people are going to that because you want to trust archers. You know, you're like, hey, you guys are good to come in and just, if you work like second shift,
yeah, then it'd be awesome.
Yeah. For sure. No, that's awesome. The 24-hour indoor shooting thing is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really
I wish more people would do that around us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like a little like badge access. I don't know how it works, like how they get in and stuff, but I know you can, once you're a member, you get like a code or something like that, and you can get in and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. I mean, it'd be a good thing, especially like now, but it seems like now after hunt season, we're just busy every weekend, so we don't have time to do shit. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget, we're going to be at the – we got a little two-week break, and then we will be at Iowa Deer Classic. So we're going to be doing the trade show circuit. So the first one is Iowa Deer Classic March 3rd through the 5th, if I got that right.
March 6th.
Oh, it's March 6th. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, just pulled that one out of the top of my head. I could not remember the
fucking idea, did you?
Don't talk.
Someone pull that up.
before we talk about how awesome of a big butt killer Mark Reif is, we have an unpopular opinion. I get some water segment. And this, I'll set a timer for 5 minutes. This topic this week is, should able-bodied hunters be able to kill and hunt with a crossbow? Give me a minute. Here we go. 5 minutes on the clock. Eric, what do you think?
My opinion is no. I think if you...
Okay. Why?
I know. I'm getting
thank you for your opinion.
Yeah. Just no.
Just no. Just no. Not into it.
If you're able to shoot a compound, you should shoot one, is my opinion.
Right.
Okay. If you're able to shoot one.
Simple.
Yeah.
Doug?
I agree. I don't think if you're able to shoot a compound bow, you should have to use a compound bow to hunt for bow hunting. And if you can't, I mean, I'm fine with you using a crossbow if you can't pull back a bow, but come on, man. Like, you're shooting darts at 120 yards.
darts.
fucking smoking them.
You're launching your morning
that's argument.
I'm pulled back on, like man. A 48-yard, 108-inch deer, and you're sitting there smoking it.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Mark, what do you think? We're not the same.
I think age maybe has to do with it. And then, I mean, able body, obviously. You know, most people would say, oh, it gets people in the outdoors and all that stuff. So it's good, but So does it I wouldn't.
What age would you put it on?
Little kids are shooting those little bows all the time.
I guess you'd have to be able to pull 40 plus pounds back. So
something like that, yeah.
Until you can do that. What, 14, 15, 16? It's different for a girl and a boy in their size, I guess, too. So.
Right.
Well, we said able body. So.
Yeah. Steve? Able body adults, not so much for.
We got 3.5 minutes.
I think I'd be okay with it if it's your first season hunting just to get you into it. But after that, it's like, come on, you have to. And if you're like at a grown man. And you're talking about just crossbow hunting. You're just slaughtering them with crossbows. Like, dude, it's just...
Here's my thing. I think it's a good tool to get kids into it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the only time where, like, when you're old, like, kind of what Mark said, if you just physically can't do it. But I agree. Like, maybe you can crossbow hunt during firearm season in Illinois in a forest situation. That's the only time. But you don't get to take advantage of a regular length of a compound or regular archery season for your crossbow. I don't think it's right.
It definitely should not be.
I know some crossbows advertise like accurate to 100 yards out of the box. Like it's already sighted in. It's like, well, when you get a compound bow, like you dictate how well you're sighted in. That's all your personal like aspirations and goals and how accurate you want to be. So you kind of control your own fate there.
I think that would make more people that would be hunters out there that are kind of like gun hunters. You know what I mean? They go out that one weekend. Well, hey, I can shoot 100 yards with a bow now.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you get more people out there maybe.
Right,
but,
right.
But, you know, crappy shots. Probably
result to a lot of wounded deer.
I know in Iowa, you used to have to have a doctor's note to shoot a crossbow.
Yeah, that's how Illinois used to be as well.
I think people that wouldn't put the effort into going with a vertical bow like we do would just start going out because it's crossbow. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Crossbow, it's easy.
And let's maybe that's what gets them into it and then could get them into compound. That's like the argument here, I guess, you know.
Right.
But...
Or you could, you know, just
not
buying it. Yeah, you could raise the price of crossbow tags since it's like, you know, essentially easier. It's like, okay, then here's your regular archery tag. Then you've got to pay like an extra like 30, 40 bucks. If you want to use this, you know, you got to pay
a little
bit.
Yeah, but
the
state of Illinois doesn't care. They just want.
No, they don't. They just want the income.
Put limits on how many you can kill with the crossbow, definitely, because
for sure,
it's
one.
So much easier. Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yep.
Would you be okay if guys could either crossbow hunt all season long or gun hunt? Would you be okay with that? You have to pick one or the other.
Say what? Give me your parameters.
If you were gonna hunt with a crossbow, you can't gun hunt because you're essentially using a bow gun.
Like just during the firearm season?
No, just during the season total. So you either get to pick one or the other.
Yeah, that'd be too hard to dictate.
Really gun season doesn't work that.
I would think that maybe
you'd obviously choose crossbow.
And this is crazy, but hear me out. Maybe that crossbow hunters could put in for like points systems, but then I think then guns would have to for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tricky situation.
That is, yeah.
I don't know.
It's a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole.
For sure.
One of those rabbit holes.
I can see the argument on every end of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rabbit hole at 100 yards.
If I had to call it, though, if you can shoot a compound bow, you shouldn't be able to touch a crossbow.
Yeah.
Yep. I think we all agree.
That's where the WCB's at anyway, right?
That's our opinion.
So popular. Crossbow.
Then you just got to ask. It's like, all right, so you're a grown man, so when you go to the bowling alley, do you ask for the bumpers up?
Do you always walk around with your wiener tucked between your legs?
I'm like, damn, bro, you shot a deer with a crossbow in front of your kid? Oof.
We're hating really hard.
Yeah, we still love you guys.
We don't really believe in, like, half the shit we just said we don't actually believe in. our unpopular opinion we believe in, but the jokes just go further. Because
it's just what we do.
Yeah, Steve, like you might as well just shoot a crossbow.
I should, dude. Just to fuck, dude. What if I smoke like a fucking giant next year with a crossbow, just like a 200-inch fucking?
Well, then you could be the crossbow guy.
Yeah,
so, labeled the crossbow guy.
We're done with that. The crossbow guy.
Steve's like, I'm all for him.
Crottle Mo. That's me. TV crossbow Mo.
Be getting a hold of Neil Anderson. Can you pass this law, please?
Yeah, I feel bad. I've like got all wild about crossbow hunting with a state senator in our studio.
He's the lover.
Shit happened.
No, he's a good dude, man. He's fighting for the people out there.
He's good shit. We got to get him back on here before he runs for governor, hopefully one day.
I think he could get voted in.
Yeah.
He's like one of the guys in Illinois that's like a legit politician. Like he's not
right.
He's not like icky, you know?
Right.
Like
He's
you know
real.
What I mean?
He's real.
Like, you see, like, some of the Democrats and shit, you're just like, yeah.
I tell him all the time because he's like, he's just, he, I mean, he'll cross party lines too. Like, you know, he's a Republican, definitely pro union and shit. But I'm just like, dude, I can't wait till you get corrupt one day. And I'm like, I don't want to watch it. And he just laughs because he's such a good dude. And he just wants
dude,
to
Dude, he
right
came in
people.
Here in the studio. We should get him back on, man. But we he came in, he was sure. like cracking beers with us. He's like, yeah, this is what I do. I mean, why can't we just chill here? And
yeah.
He was just posting pictures, like, drinking beer with us and stuff. I'm like, man, you're like a politician.
He's real.
He's like, yeah, but everybody else goes home and drinks beer. Like,
yeah, true. What the hell's the difference? You
touché,
know?
Man.
Same with the constituents.
You do you, brah. Mark Reif.
Yes, sir.
Hollywood is dead, sir.
Hollywood is dead. Hollywood was supposed to be my dad's deer. So
is that how it works?
Kind of a crappy son.
So you shot, you have both your bucks from this season.
Yes.
And then, so we did a podcast on your first buck, but refresh me, like, what was, or refresh listeners, what was the date of your first one?
October 12th.
Okay, so straight
early,
out of the gate.
Early.
In the morning, yep. First cold front of the year, yep.
Man, that's important.
House. Yeah.
People talk about that all the time.
I waited and waited, yep. And slipped right out there. Only had an hour and a half to hunt and showed up first thing in the morning.
That's calling your shot, I feel
like. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I was pointing over the fence.
There it is. He was pointing over the high fence. Yeah. That's what he was doing.
Run towards the house, buddy.
So pointing at the hole in the fence. Yeah.
So scroll back up the feed.
Walk through right there.
At the hole in the fence. So scroll back and find the latest one besides this one with Mark, and that's all about that buck. Did you even know that deer, this guy?
That's the one that had the wound in his
body. Yeah.
I had video of getting shot the year before.
Right.
Yeah.
So, man, that I forgot about that part. Yep,
but I didn't really know I knew him until after I went to recover him.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, because you saw it and then we're like, what the? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then you hunted hard. You're hunting with your dad.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. My dad's been hurt. He had shoulder surgery, so he's had... You know, he wasn't able to go.
He's hunting with a crossbow?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that.
Is he? Oh, damn.
No, we were eyeballing him this year because they might have been necessary. But he's of age. He needs one. He's had rotator cuff surgery on both shoulders.
Yeah.
So,
Get a crossbow, man.
So, yeah. So, but he's a diehard. You should have seen how he was. He just didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to do it. And he just, he's like, I can't, you know, just like us. So. He held off and held off, and I ended up ordering him some 50-pound limbs for his Elite Synergy, and we put him on, and he was able to pull it back. So he got, you know, a little bit of hunting in this year, but not much.
Yeah.
So, but
that's where that box blind played a big role, right?
Yeah. That was the whole deal. Yep. Yeah. I mean, when I kept sitting on the stand on the side of this hill last year, I kept thinking, you know, how you look around and you look for trees and. Watch where deer travel and where the, you know, their trails are and everything. So I kept looking at this one tree. I need to be over there. Mm-hmm. I need to be over there. But the wind swirls because it's a huge ravine. So yeah.
Well, you were saying that your box blind's like a necessity there.
Yeah. So right at the bottom, right where the creek goes, you know, I had to put one in. There was just no way to hunt that spot, you know, unless, I mean, even if I went super high, it just circles down there no matter which way it comes from, I've learned. So... And if I would have put it super high, my dad wouldn't get in it. So
jealous, by the way. All those cold days, you would send Snapchats, and we'd be out there freezing our asses off. You know,
rocking his t-shirt like, damn, this Mr. Buddy here got too hot.
Yeah, I feel bad for you guys. It's cold out. I opened the door for a minute earlier.
It got too hot in there.
Trying to take a leak.
Yeah, right.
Air's getting dry in here. That's funny, man. I've never had that experience.
Yeah, I never had either. It's the first blind I've ever hunted out of like that in my life, so it was kind of all new. And different, and so it was pretty cool. So, but yeah, I guess Hollywood, the first I guess how he got his name was we saw him the first year I owned the property, and I guessed he was a three-year-old, but real nice tall tines and looked like
he's
pretty
awesome.
Pretty good deer for what I thought was three. And he always just, he was on the food plot, and then every time he'd come by the camera, I was like, you know, he just stopped and he'd look around and he'd pose. And so my dad came up with the name Hollywood because he's like a celebrity, you know, Hollywood.
He's like all that.
Yeah, posing in front of the camera all the time. So that's how he got his name. So I kind of was, you know, I knew I was after Buck Norris, but this was like our number two deer, you know.
Yeah.
I actually had like five deer that I would shoot this year.
No shit.
So But, you know, of course, once November comes, you know, or shit the end of crazy. October, I just stopped seeing him. Yeah. But I kept seeing Hollywood. He'd still come through at night, you know, not in the daylight.
He likes those cameras, man.
Yeah, he loves them. Yeah, he loves these cameras. What's that light, dude?
He gets that attention.
They call this camera the paparazzi.
So last year, we saw him, got a lot of pictures of him, but we never saw him in the daylight, never saw him on hoof. Yeah. So, you know, then I knew he made it through when I saw him in Velvet this year. And I was pretty sure it was him, but last year he had a point right here on this side,
mm-hmm.
Out on the end, but he didn't have one on that side. Now this year he's got a little tiny G4 on each side. So I wasn't 100% sure it was him, but I kept looking back at the old pictures and his bladed G2s and the length of them and the way the G3 is curved and his main beam and brows were. I figured it out.
Yeah.
Because I had other deer that had really curly brows and stuff and were just 10-pointers.
He's a beautiful buck,
totally different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's totally classic. I thought he was just a big 8 at first. I'm like, I've always wanted to kill a giant 8. And I'm like, well, he's not giant, but he's big.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if he gets by another year, he'll be a giant 8.
That's a big 8, man.
It is a big 8. He's close to 150, I'd say, maybe.
Yeah, you haven't taped him yet?
I did. I think it was – no, actually, this one was higher. This one was 144-something. He's 142.
I would guess him way bigger than that, honestly.
I think he's 142-something, but he's got – probably 3 inches busted off.
Hold him up once. That way we can describe
him. Give a little whiskey.
If he had that brow, he's 142, maybe 145.
Man, I feel like he's bigger.
Really?
I think so.
But
yeah, I would have said 145.
Really? I was going to say 45, 46, easy.
My
10-pointer right there is 147. I feel like he looks bigger than that deer.
I got 142 and some change. I did score him pretty good, but
grab that buck, Steve, without knocking Creepy over.
He did knock 3 inches off, so we're pretty close.
But I was real.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know, I was real.
He comes off his head. Really
he appears tall. Way bigger than my 10-pointer that Steve's holding.
I think it's the tine length. He does have sweet G2s and threes.
I got brows.
Yeah, you definitely got him on brows. His brows are decent, though.
But I guess my fours are bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got, if he had anything normal fours, then he'd be 50. Probably where you'd mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
But his fours are just like, why even did you grow those?
like he had a choice.
Just rub them off.
Do I want to be an 8? Do I want to be a 10? You know,
that's
whatever.
Funny.
Like, so, just be both. I mean, he's super symmetrical and curls around. His main beams come in and point together. He's a sweet deer.
He's pretty.
Yeah, I treat him every day.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
It's hard for any hunter to see that frame rat coming through and being like, nah, unless you're Doug.
So
that would be a hard one.
Yeah.
The buck you pass is bigger than that.
Right. Doug passes 10s like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a 10, but he's got most
Doug's trying to forget it. He's like, nah, he wasn't that big.
I didn't screw up that bad, guys.
No, it was like a 120.
You guys weren't there.
You had to be there.
He looks bigger on camera.
It's funny.
Just didn't feel right. No, that's a beautiful buck.
So, I was excited to see him and got him on camera a lot at night, early season in Velvet. And then I even got him and started getting him a hardhorn in beginning of October and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I thought there was a chance, you know. So, but my mind was, I already got this one earlier this year behind my house. So I'm sitting for Buck Norris. I had another nice 10-pointer that was probably definitely a little bit bigger than this one. So those two were kind of like two I'd shoot. But once I got this one, I was all set on Buck Norris. So anyway, we were slow at work. Yeah. The old famous Buck Norris. So
he's everywhere.
Yeah. Debatable Buck Norris.
So
controversial, I
guess. The controversial Buck Norris. Yep. I'm going to hire Dana to come find his sheds.
There you go. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it might not be on my property.
New
Dana,
side hustle for Dana.
Yeah. Just tell him you thought you were on my ground.
Yeah. How many acres do you own? About 1,000. Yeah. You'll find it. Yeah.
You can't walk to the property line from here.
Yeah. Right. Walk all you want. Never made it.
I got bail money, bro.
You can go there on Sundays between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
They're church. So I was sitting. I mean, we got slow at work, so I had time off. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm just going to live in that muddy blind because it's a super funnel. I mean, all the trails come together right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he will come through sooner or later.
Oh, yeah, he's got to.
So I sat there for 3 days, and he didn't come through. He didn't come through. He didn't come through. I slipped over and checked my cameras.
Are you sitting all day?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Just post it up in your
yeah. Warmth. Oh, yeah, dude. It was, I mean, by the time I was done, it was exhausting. I mean, you think it's easy to sit and sit and sit. Go sit somewhere all day and just sit there.
Yeah.
Just sit there.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's mentally exhausting.
Yeah. And squeegee the windows 75,000 times while you're in there. So.
Did you pack like a full lunch and dinner?
They're all like, I feel bad for you. You're squeegeeing windows. You puke.
Yeah. He's cooking hot dogs over the buddy heater, you know.
So I checked my cameras and I found that I had a daylight picture of Buck Norris like 4 days before that. So like it was November 3rd. He came through by the muddy in daylight one afternoon. And I believe I was hunting that morning and I had to go home for something early and couldn't stay till dark. Pick up my daughter or whatever. My wife had to work late something.
Yeah.
So I probably would have been there. But anyway, so I saw this. Hollywood came through on the 29th. And I'd been out there 26th and 27th, and I didn't see a deer.
Mm-hmm.
So then Hollywood comes through on the 29th, and I told my dad, hey, he's coming through in daylight. So then Buck Norris on the 3rd of November. So then, you know, I got that time off, and I started hunting every single day, all day. You know, sometimes I took my daughter to daycare in the morning and blast out there, you know, and then sit all day. But anyway, I sat for 4 days straight, and Hollywood came by at, I think it was, it was like 8:30 in the morning or something like that. And I saw him. I'm like, oh, that's a good deer. And I'm like, I figured out who it was right away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pass because I'm sitting on Buck Norris. I can't believe I'm going to do this. And he strolled right by the muddy and I just.
Like how far?
30 yards.
Oh, right, smokes.
Right on the other side of the creek in my shooting lane that I cleared just to stop him right there. Same place I ended up killing him. So so he goes by, and I'm like, oh, God, I can't believe I did that. So, but in my mind, it's my dad's deer.
Right.
You know, he's never killed a big one, and so I wanted him to get him, and I already had one, so I was on Buck North, so I was going to lay off of him. And, and I knew I had other ones, too, so, you know, who knows what comes through.
I can see why you passed him, but it would have been hard.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because I knew I'd be tagged out, too.
Yeah, well, you're done.
So anyway, that's day five, day six, I'm passing, you know, pretty nice eight pointers that are 3-year-olds and small deer and, you know, watching a little bit of ruddy stuff go on. And day six, day seven, and I'm getting like, okay, now I got to go back to work in 2 days. So I'm like, I'm stressing bad.
Yeah.
You know, now it becomes, I have to kill something good on my property for the first time in my second year hunting it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I knew I had 2 days left, but I'm the next day, the eighth day, which was a Friday morning, the 15th, November 15th, I'm sitting there, and that was one of the days that I had to take my daughter to daycare, and I got there a tiny bit late, so I had to sneak in, and I got in the blind, and I mean, within, he had to be already walking towards me when I was climbing up in my blind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I probably sat, I don't know, 10 minutes, maybe most.
No so, shit.
Yeah, so. And then I saw a big deer on the other side of the creek coming towards me, and it's real thick, and it was about 80 yards out there, and he's coming the other way from when he first came.
The windows weren't even fogged up yet.
Yeah, yeah.
His heater wasn't even on.
Heater on yet. Yeah.
Crank
that up yet. So I'm like, I really didn't even stare at the frame to figure out who it was. Yeah. I'd been putting pressure on myself all those days, and I'm like, God, I gotta kill something. Come on, come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to work, and then I'm not going to get nothing. So anyway, I saw him, and I'm like, I don't care who that deer is, I'm shooting it.
Uh-huh.
So I got up, and, you know, it's different in a blind. You got to get out of the chair and move it or spin around or
stretch your legs.
Yeah.
Set your breakfast burrito down.
Yeah. Turn the heater off.
Stretching.
Turn off the TV. And so, you know, you're scared to death to walk around in that thing because it's plywood, one creek, and, you know, so you're tiptoeing around, and they're coming, you know, he's coming, and I'm like, I only got so much time. So you got to open the window, get your bow off the hook, you know. And the way this is, it's a little bit downhill on the other side of the creek. So for this particular shot, I can't sit in my chair and just shoot right out the window. I'd actually shoot a couple inches below the window right into the blind.
Yeah.
So I have to stand up and then kind of spread my feet and do the squat thing and kind of peek down a little bit. And
I'm like,
So I grabbed my bow, got the window open, and I'm looking. Oh, God, did I make any noise? Is he still coming? And I couldn't see him, so I thought he stopped.
Yeah.
So I started to panic a little bit. I'm like, oh, no, no.
Oh, no.
Did he hear me? Crap. So anyway, I looked out the window a little farther, and here he comes. I'm like, oh, he is coming. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I got ready, and I've never shot out of the blind before. So
oh, ever?
I was, no, not yet. I didn't get, you know, time to practice out of it and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Because we were doing food plots and timber stand improvement stuff. And
yeah.
We just set it up in, like, September or something, or...
Right before season.
Yeah, or late August, I think it was. August or something. Wherever you guys were at the deer show in Wisconsin.
Oh, that would have been, like, yeah, it was...
August, right?
I think
August.
It was August.
Is it August?
Super
I think it's
hot.
August.
Because I was almost going to come to the show, but I'm like, ah, I got this thing on my trailer. And
gotcha.
It's
gotcha.
An hour away. So, anyway, he's coming, and I made a huge mistake. I told myself, I don't care who it is, I'm shooting that deer. So I mentally got myself going, and I got excited. And then I opened the window, you know, and you're all scared.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's different than being in a tree stand, you know. It really is. It's huge. You're moving around and walking, and you're
– That would be really strange.
Yeah, it is weird.
He's in a pacing back and forth. Do I shoot it? Do I not shoot it?
Yeah. You got to get all this stuff done, windows open, make sure your feet are set. I mean, it's a whole different ball game.
You put his slippers back on.
Yeah. It's a lot to, like, remember.
Yeah, it is. And so when I kind of drew back in the blind, I made sure that my arrow is – when you hold your bow, your arrow is, like, 2 inches above your hand.
Yeah.
Or an inch, you know. So I'm like, my knuckle has got to be at least at the bottom of that – or at the top of that bottom part of the window. Because,
right.
I mean, it could get ugly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That wouldn't be fun, yeah.
Right in your face.
Who knows where that thing's going, really. So anyway, I got all that situated. I got, you know, in my little stance, and – He came by, and he came right by the opening, and you know, stopped and looked right at me.
Yeah.
And I had worked myself up, because I don't care who it is, I'm shooting it. I got to go to work. I worked myself up so bad, dude, that I was shaking like a girl.
Yeah.
And I don't do that until after the shot. This is the first time,
yeah,
you know, I've really ever experienced that. I was literally all over that deer, and I'm like, I can't shoot. There's no way I can shoot like this.
Shaking
I was
so bad.
Oh,
yeah,
man, dude.
If I can't settle this pin, I ain't shooting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, get it together, dumbass. Took another deep breath and, you know, settled the pin and then squeezed it off. And I thought I hit him bad. I thought I hit him back a ways.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty decent up and down, but I thought maybe a touch, couple inches high.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately, you know, I freaked out. I'm like, oh, God, that was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, he's going to go across the street on somebody else's property because I'm close to the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, now what am
I
going to do?
The headache starts and the works. Yeah.
Yep.
That's a very, very terrible feeling.
Oh, God, it was. I mean, I sunk. I thought I gut shot him, but a little high, you know. And I knew, oh, God, now I got all night. I can't even go. It's 7:30 in the morning.
But, oh, shit.
You know, real early. Right. But I have to let him lay all day now, you know. So anyway, I saw him run off, and he ran up to the top of the hill, and he ran by my trail camera. So I'm like, oh, at least maybe I'll get a picture of him.
Get to see what your shot was or whatever.
Yep. So he stopped up on the top of the hill by the fence. And I'm like, why did he just stop right there?
Mm-hmm.
If I gut shot him, he is not stopping. He shouldn't be. He took off like he was hit like a normal buck, you know?
Right, right.
So
how far is the fence from here?
Probably 40 yards.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, maybe 45. Not very far at all. Yeah, from where I shot
him. You see him the whole time?
Yeah, probably from me to the fence, from my blind to the fence, is probably 65, 70, maybe 70 yards. You know, thick and everything. So all I could see was his head and his rack running, and he stopped up there. And I just thought that was wrong. I thought if he should keep going right across the street. So then I, you know, I got the binoculars up, and I start looking, and then I see his rack go down lower.
Oh, shit.
And then the rack comes back up higher. Well, I know there's a ditch over there. So I'm like, okay, just cross the ditch.
He's
on the road now because he looks tall and big.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw him go across the road. I'm like, crap, he made it across the road. And then I saw his head go down again. And then he disappeared. And I'm like, okay, there's a ditch over there too. But it looked like he almost stopped over there at that ditch for a second. So I couldn't tell if he fell or if he just went down that ditch and went onto that neighbor's property, and one of the other neighbors told me that guy will not let you go over there.
Oh, so I was like,
oh my God, no way.
Worst case scenario.
So I'm like, well, I guess I'm meeting that guy today, and I'm going to beg him, you know, and see what happens and see if I can form a relationship with him or something.
Right, you got to try.
Yeah. So
Which anyway, we got to look up in Illinois if you can recover a deer like that.
You can't. I heard that podcast you guys were talking about it. You can't go on anybody else's property without
permission.
Without permission from the landowner. And even the DNR officer can't take you on there without permission. Wow. So what you do is you call the DNR officer and you ask them if they would go to the landowner's house with you, and they will come and talk to the landowner and try to assist you and convince them to let you go to recover the deer. But if that landowner tells him no, it doesn't matter. It's no.
Yeah.
So at least that's the way it's been my whole life.
That's crazy.
Man. Yeah, that's scary.
They need to change that. I mean, it's your land, but it's
your responsibility to recover an animal at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway.
So he just lets dead deer go on his property all the time.
Yeah. Wait, what was that?
He just lets dead deer go on his property all the
time.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. Because there are gun hunters. There's gun hunters that hunt above the other side of the road. A lot of them, like 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, at that point, you'd be like, dude, I give you X amount of dollars. Let me go fucking
around.
Right.
Right.
How much would it take? And I don't know. This is just the word of the neighbor across the street. And
yeah.
You know, I kind of had a little bit of a indifference with that neighbor, so maybe he caused an indifference with this guy, and this guy won't let him go.
Yeah,
so
right. You never know the exact story.
So I haven't talked to him personally, but, you know.
Well, neighbor, if you're listening, straighten your shit out,
yeah.
Right?
Be cooler. But,
be a red-blooded American, okay?
Cool. Or as Doug would say, just come on.
Yeah, be cool if you did.
My guy, come on.
So, anyway, I call my dad, and I'm like, I shot something. I think it was one of the 10s, the other 10s or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who it was. And he's like, oh, man, all right. So I'm like, you know, I told him what I saw the deer do. So I'm like, I think I'm going to get down out of the blind. Instead of waiting, I think I'm going to get down out of the blind, and I'm going to walk out the road we drive in on and go to the gravel road and look up the ditch. Excuse me. And if I see him laying in the ditch and he's wounded or injured or something, maybe I can get another arrow off, you know, while I'm still on my edge of the property and finish him off, put him out of misery. So I go out there and sneak out there with an arrow knocked, and I'm walking up the side of the gravel road in the ditch, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't see nothing. Then I look at
this. Is this a busy road?
No, it's just a gravel road back to people's houses, so it's not very busy.
It's like a lane, kind of?
Yeah, it's just total gravel road. Gotcha. Yeah, it goes way
It'd
back.
It'd be like there. This road out front here.
Yes. Okay. Yep, exactly.
Okay.
So I start walking up the road, and I'm looking in the ditch. I'm looking across the street, and I don't see anything in either ditch, and I look at the road. It's just a gray gravel road.
Yeah.
And, dude, it looked like somebody took a 5-gallon bucket of paint and literally poured it across the street.
Oh, shit.
Remember I showed you that Snapchat? Yeah. Didn't I send you that picture?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen blood trails before, but I promise you, this is the most massive blood trail I've ever seen in my entire life. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it wasn't a gut shot.
Here we
go. So I walk up to the blood trail, and I turn left and start following across the street, and I see him laying in the other ditch right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's right there. You know, the blood is crazy there, too. I mean, it's just nothing like I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I walk up, and I'm like, I grab the rat because it's, like, twisted up in the grass, and I pick it up, and I'm like, oh, no, it's Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Crap.
Shit, and Dad's on his way.
Yeah.
How am I going to explain this one?
I know. I'm like, I just shot Dad's deer.
Yeah.
Dang it, man. I thought it was maybe the Curly Brow 10 or one of my other 9s. And I'm like, but I can't be sad at the same time.
It's a great buck.
It's my first deer on my property. But
that shows how just selfless you are. Is that the right term? Like, you were thinking about your dad.
Yeah,
when you were
that's the
about
first
yourself.
Thing that hit my mind. You know, I was like, my heart sunk for a second. I'm like, crap. So then
he's gonna be pissed.
Yeah. So then I started looking where I hit it, and I hit it. It wasn't as back as far as I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know what I saw when I saw that, but no, I thought it was,
like you said, your head was frantic.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And so I did hit him a little high, but you know, below no man's land, obviously. But
yeah.
But when I followed that blood trail, I realized I had to cut that artery that runs under the spine.
Oh.
And I mean, that, you know, that's the aorta. Is it not the femoral artery that goes down the leg? It might be the aortic. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
I was like,
yeah.
The hell are you looking at me for?
Yeah, it's the main
if
artery.
If anyone knows, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I should know. I'm ashamed of myself.
My dad hit, well, I can attest to you, the blood trail. My dad hit a buck when I was really young. He's not a real big buck, but we got him mounted because at the time, for us, it was a big buck.
Right.
So it's kind of neat he has him mounted. But he hit it far back, and in that spot. And we found no blood at first, and then we found a spot, and then it was literally like, yeah, like you're saying, like
a massacre.
It was a massacre of blood. Like, I don't remember the details, but when my dad cleaned it, it had to have just been bone dry inside him.
Right.
Like
it was
all gone.
Yeah. Yep. So, I figured, just looking at him there laying in the ditch, I figured that's what I hit because it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm standing here in the ditch, the edge of the road.
In the middle of the road.
With a dead deer right here. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks weird. Yeah.
DNR's going to be pissed.
Yeah. So I snatch up. There's a little bit of snow on the ground, so I snatch him up by one antler, and I start dragging. I'm carrying my bow, and I drag him alongside. And I ain't kidding. I had to stop like five times. I'm like, I'm getting old, bad, whatever. So I got him over to where I could drag him across the street and onto my property again into where my muddy blind was where we drive the truck in.
Yeah.
So then, I'm taking some pictures and thinking about it and everything. And I'm like, hey, he ran by that trail camera. I wonder if I got a good picture of him over there. So I'm going to, I didn't have my truck. Because my truck, the starter went out of my truck. So I actually had to call Gene Miller.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? He's like, hey, I'm on my way, dude. So he had to come get me. So while he was on his way, I went to check my trail camera. And I got it. And when I got home, sure enough, he ran by it. But you could actually see the exit side. I mean, you could see blood on the left side where it came in. But on the exit side, you could actually see like five big globs of blood midair.
No shit.
Flying
out
of the deer.
You gotta send those to me so I can post them.
I will. And it's a little blurry, but you can still tell.
No shit.
And it's midair and it's about to hit the ground. It's about halfway between his body and the ground. And then you can see some blood on the ground too. So I'll send you them videos. I went back and videoed the whole blood trail too.
Well, I should post them on Instagram with like the cover art for this.
Yeah. So it was cool. You always want to, if you shoot a deer, see it on camera or whatever. Yeah. So I went home and I was like, yes, I got a picture, when I checked it. But so that part was really cool. And then, so when I was walking back from getting the SD card, swapping them out, I'm walking back towards the property and a truck comes down the road and I knew a truck had already gone down the road. After I pulled it onto the property, I was standing there looking at my deer, and I watched this truck go by. Well, when I was walking back from the trail camera, a truck came down. And you know that sound of a gravel road when they start slowing down?
Oh, yeah, you can tell right away.
I'm like, uh-oh. They're slowing down. I wonder if this is a landowner, a hunter, or whatever. And dude rolls down the window. There's two guys in the truck. He's like, did you get one? And I'm like, yeah, I got a pretty good one. He goes, yeah, we're coming down the street the other way. And my buddy over here says, Jesus, somebody got one. Look at that blood trail. I mean, could literally, while they were driving, you could literally see the blood trail across the street. It was savage.
That's insane. That's funny. Like, did you get one? You ever been driving down a county road and spotted a blood trail?
No, I have never. Yeah.
I haven't. Yeah. I don't think.
No.
Just the paint bucket.
Yeah. I'll definitely have to send you a picture or something.
I need those. I need
them. Of the road. It's crazy.
Yeah, I need them. I got to post them with this episode.
Yeah.
You brought your arrow in. Is that the arrow you shot him with?
Yeah. Yep.
So your arrow, you just found it right away. It was total pass
through. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it completely passed through, or it did when he jumped. It was like 5 yards up the trail. I think it went all the way through him and maybe just the veins
hung on to him
on the far side or something. And I think part of the reason why I might have hit him a little bit high was, I aimed mid body 30 yards. I already had my pin set because I knew, that was where he was going to be.
Yeah.
But I think when you shoot inside a blind, it seemed loud.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it all echoes in there.
Yeah.
I would think it would stay in the blind.
I thought so, too. I thought so, too. I thought, this will actually make my bow even quieter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that it totally works that way. I need to shoot in the blind to have somebody outside of it. I could be wrong. But I think it's going out that one window right towards them, and everything else is closed around you.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know yet. But
is it padded on the inside?
Or I just...
It's insulated, right?
It's got carpet. Yeah, it's got insulation. It's got plywood, then 1-inch or 3/4-inch white foam insulation, then carpet over that, then a plastic vinyl wall. So, I mean, it's...
That's got to deaden the sound.
You would think so. Maybe he just ducked because at 30 yards they do.
Yeah.
Maybe in my panic I was a little high holding on him, too. Maybe,
I know a lot. That mindset was like purely buck fever. Like, that's what buck fever
is. It is exactly. Yep. And all these years, I remember my dad asked me, a year or two ago, he says, how do you stay calm when they're coming in?
Yeah.
And I said, the way I do it is I just look like it's not going to happen.
Really? That's what you do?
It's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.
What about me?
The whole time. Yeah.
What about me? Shoot a giant.
Yeah.
That's what you do, huh?
Yeah, because, and there's only one reason. It's for your mind. If you tell yourself.
Mindset.
Yeah, exactly. It's a calming thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I let myself get, oh, God, here
worked
he comes.
Up.
Oh, God, 20, 40, you know, how you know, yeah. when he's working the yardage in. And oh, Jesus, he's big. Oh, God, how many points has he got?
Yeah. You that just escalates
mentally,
from there.
Yeah, your adrenaline starts dumping. And you start shaking and you don't make clean decisions. So for me, it's always been, I just look down because I don't like, I mean, we've talked about this before. I don't like to look them in the eyes.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of just look down and keep my peripheral on them and it's not going to happen. But I'm totally ready the whole time to pull.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, okay, they're there. And then I just go into my shot. You know, when I,
yeah.
every time in the That's past when I've gone, you know, oh, here comes a deer. You know, and I pull back and I settle my pin and I'm like, oh, there it is. I jerk and I screw up.
So
Yeah, I tell myself, there it is. You know, and you get excited and you make physical, mental moves that, to me.
I just find your strategy very interesting.
I know. It's different. Most people would like, you know, pull slow or
pull. When I have a buck walking in, but it's different though, because sometimes you get in a weird mindset where you're doing like what you're getting buck fever. You're letting you're letting like that. The moment get you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I always try to like compare it to like what it has to feel like to a championship fight or something. Like,
yeah.
You're like, okay. Like right. If I can see a deer coming, I feel I'm better. Not always though, but
right.
It's like percentages, right? Like when Creepy was walking in the week before I shot him and he like spooked, I was fucking losing it a little bit,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But like, I always try to map it out. Like when I shot my first buck this past season, I just try to be ready. Like, okay, if the deer's coming, like, look where your feet are.
Yep.
Okay, your arrow's knocked. Like, I look at my equipment and everything before. That way I'm like, don't let anything fuck up. And that's just because I've had so many fuck-ups.
Right, right. Exactly. You know? And that's what I do, too. I mean, everything's ranged, everything. I know if he comes here, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm going at this angle. The chair's out of the way. The window's out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm turning on my blind or stand or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally do the same thing. But I completely had put all that pressure on myself to shoot Buck Norris. And when this other deer came by, I just made a quick decision. And I was like, you should have seen me get out of the chair. I'm like, I'm shooting this deer. I don't care who it is. I was standing up and the heartbeat spun around in the chair, stood
jumped
up, grabbed
up
my bow, got the window.
Smacked your head on the
you know,
ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, I got to squat down. Oh, yeah, remember your hand, you know, above the window. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just mentally, you know, the adrenaline was starting to dump. I was getting myself worked up. So
he's a freaking stud, man.
He is.
He's a nice boss.
Yeah, congratulations.
Cool. You had a killer year, man. So are you going to – Mark's a taxidermist for people who don't know who Mark is. He's been on the show a lot. You're an amazing taxidermist. I imagine you have him euroed out right now. Both the bucks are on the table for everyone that's listening. Are you gonna skull mount or shoulder mount them?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yep, that's what I do. You know, if I get something that right now, then I'll just euro it real quick and then hang on to it, put it on a, you know, one of them, you know, hookers or whatever. Yeah. And then when it's time to mount it, then I just cut the skull cap off. So
that's
a great way to display it if you have, you know, give you the antlers back and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I love euros anyway; they're sweet,
classic.
Yeah. I got a bit of a stupid question. So I see a taxidermy tag on there. If you even like you're a taxidermist, do you have to put that tag on there to do your own deer?
Yeah, I just do. Yeah. Oh yeah, for me especially. I mean, if I shoot anything, I have to keep my, you know, my tag that I put on the animal.
Yeah.
And I have to tag it with the taxidermy tag. Yeah, because
that's fair.
Like if you come to me and you bring me a deer, I have to fill out a tag for you, put it on your rack.
See, my buck's over there, Steve, from Old Barn. I brought them back, and they tagged them, too, those yellow tags.
Yeah, I was wondering where those are on there. Okay.
Yep. And then when I return it to you, you don't have to keep a tag to hang it in your house. You personally don't, but I do since I'm
You just need your regular tag.
So I always just tag them like I tag everything I do, you know, everybody's animals. So, yep. So, you know, you don't ever want to, if you're running around with them, you don't ever want to get pulled over by a cop or a DNR. And, you know, hey, where'd you get this? You know,
Dude, you've had a killer last few years.
I actually have, dude. Yeah. The last 3 years have been dynamite. I mean, you know, that's.
Being a 183.
And then this year I added. Yeah,
the monster.
Yeah, I got, I don't know, 144 and 142, something ballpark like that. So that's about, you know, 280 something in a year. So I can't decide which year was my best year of my life. Which year was better? This, obviously, was my most exciting. I've never shot mid-140s in my life in the same year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let alone, you know, year after year even. So right. I think I've got one deer that's a 145.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I've got another deer I shot with a gun that's like 18 points off it. But oh, yeah, that, it doesn't score very high. It's a weird looking deer. It's a non-typical.
You got to get all your deer mounted, man.
I know. I do have some cool ones, actually. Yeah.
Plus, you shot the one on your own property. That's got to be plus, something special,
that's,
too.
That's the killer right there, that this deer is super special because, you know, my dad and I had history yeah. with getting to know him. And he was the most visible deer on the property. I got lots and lots and lots of pictures of him this year and last year.
So when you hang them all up at the shop, you have all these two bucks in the 183 all together?
Yeah, I actually got all the Euros right there by my, you know where my taxidermy countertop is? And yeah. My paint booth fan, just right there.
Yeah, you have to send a picture of them all hanging,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's actually sweet. Yeah, I need to get another hooker for this one, actually, so that way I can put them all three up. So yeah, that's awesome. Two of them up there.
I like all the skull. Like, I like a lot of shoulder mounts together. I like all the skulls together, yeah. all super
yep.
classy.
Yep, exactly.
So what'd your dad say?
Oh, he was ecstatic, you know. He, you know what? When I told him how bad I felt, I'm like, dude, I feel so bad. It's Hollywood. I called him back, and I said, hey, I found him. You know, he was just right there in the ditch. I can't believe it. He didn't go nowhere. Yeah. He ran probably 60 yards maybe.
Right.
And so I told him, I'm back on the property, and he was really mad because he and my mom were out running around doing something that he had to do. Can't remember. They were talking to, like, their health insurance people that day or something.
Like important shit. I asked
your mom, yeah. I asked your mom, and I'm going to skip out on this. And she said, no, I can't. And I said, no, you can't. That's said, just stay home. He's like, first deer on the property. I'm not there. That's bull crap. Because he wasn't there to help me retrieve the other one I got behind my house. Either.
Well, that seemed like a one-man operation.
Yeah. yeah.
yeah. Try the tracker out there.
Yeah. And we always do that, you know, we go yeah. get them together, but that part one was I was in a hurry in the morning and my tractor was just right there.
I'm already warm.
Yeah. So
I remember like seeing that. I'm just like, because I remember I was hunting that weekend. It was that first cold front. I remember being freeze. I didn't see Mark. I'm like, what was he doing on a tractor? And then because the first snaps weren't loading, and then like as I started seeing him, I go, oh damn.
So yeah, he was super, you know, he's so happy for me. I told him how sad I was. Oh, dude, no, that's awesome.
He'll get one, man. This year's his year.
So then he's like, I'm just going to freaking shoot Buck Norris.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like, hey.
That's my dude.
Okay.
Then the Kawhi. Hey.
Payback's a bitch.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, exactly.
He'll kill him next year when he's in the 170s.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So if Mark actually shoots Buck Norris, this would be the first time that there's a deer recovered and then a grown man gets put over another grown man's lap and spanked.
Right. Yeah.
I told you not to shoot my deer.
Don't beat me, pops.
No, daddy, no.
Dude, the same guys are driving by like, Jesus, man, what are these guys doing? Someone got their ass whooped on the street.
So, yeah, then after he got his limbs on his bow and started shooting again, I was like, dude, get Buck Norris. It's yours, you know. You just go do it.
Yeah.
You know, so then I kind of made it my theme the rest of the year to try to help him get it, you know, because our hills are so big and nasty and with snow on them.
Yeah.
He just got done with shoulder surgery. You know, I was like, I'll take you, drive you around to the side where we go in.
Yeah.
You walk in, I'll go up and around. So we tried a little bit during gun season with like that and a couple times, but
he'll
of course,
get one, man.
Buck Norris
or get him.
Didn't show up. Yeah. Then I kept seeing this 3-year-old 8-pointer that I wanted him to shoot that was real nice. It actually looks a lot like this deer.
Really?
Yeah, so next year
some
he
good
might
genetic,
be,
man. Yeah, 3 years old doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So I kept telling him, you got to get out here and kill this 3-year-old 8-pointer. He's cool. Yeah. So, but he just, of course, when we went, he didn't show up. So
he'll get one, man.
So, yeah, he was all super happy for me, and so it's all good.
Hell, yeah, dude. I'm pumped for you, man. What about me?
Yeah, what about me?
What about me? I should have had the soundbite ready, but I didn't have it.
Oh, shit, Mark. What about you?
Yeah. So
what about Steve?
So
man?
I don't know if it was you.
What about us?
If it was you guys, what would you think? Would you rather shoot two decent bucks like this, or what would your best season be? I mean, that the 182 and 2.8.
That's tough,
like,
man. That's a tough question.
It is because
I had my best season this year doing that, though.
I know. See, so did I. But then I look back at that deer, and that deer is just. That's
oh, you're
like,
saying okay? I get.
Would you rather shoot two? Like this, or the one you shot?
Well, yeah, like a 182 or two mid 140s.
I would take the 180.
I would too.
I think it's a freak.
I know. That's also a freak, too.
That's why, too. Because
I think I would, too.
Yeah. It's a beauty. Yeah, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime
thing. But, yeah, you don't kill those deer all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I'll kill these bucks more often than I would kill that buck. But like, give me 180 once every 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Is that so much to ask?
That's not a bad deal right there.
Do a decade, bro.
Yeah. It was a really cool year because I got to experience, you know, harvesting two of them and then going through all the gutting and skinning and hanging in pictures and being excited. So, I mean, for the whole entire season, I guess it was probably more fun that way.
Yeah.
Because I didn't shoot the 182 until he was November 25th. So I was getting worn out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You hunted your ass off.
Yeah. I was getting beat down, and then it just happened. So,
what was your answer? Would you say that that was your best season or this?
Yeah, because I love that deer to death. You know what I mean? That's the one. That's my favorite deer I've ever killed in my entire life.
When you told that story, I remember you're like, it just happened instantaneous. So your best season just happened within a matter of minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I hate? So I had a good season, you know? The question I do hate is, how are you going to top it next year? Yeah. I don't like that because it's like you shouldn't really be looking at it that way.
Right.
You know, I was like, I just want to have fun and you know, I do want to be successful. So as long as I'm successful in whatever I'm doing, I'm happy.
I just want to see big deer, you know?
Yeah.
That's just in itself. I mean, even when I drive around at night and I see, you know, I see a million.
You should be around them.
Yeah, you see a million deer. But when you see a big one, you're like, it's just like, whoa, dude.
Right.
You know, it's a different thing.
Like 180-inch deer just don't come around.
Yeah, you just don't see them that much.
Mm-hmm. And I wish we could shoot two with a bow.
Yeah.
In Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what is cool about Illinois.
Yep.
The worst thing about it was I was done by November 15th.
So yeah, like, you were done early.
I mean, going from November 15th till January, whatever it was a long time.
Last year, I was done November 3rd.
Oh, that's right.
I thought I had forgotten how to do it this season when I got back.
You were super early last year.
Yeah, November 3rd. I killed one buck October 20th and one 20th or 25th and then one on the 3rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was done December 9th this year.
I remember that because you're like, hey, let's do this. And we're like, hey, man, we're still freaking hunting. You got to remember that.
It's the rut right now.
It's the rut, bro.
It was great for the biz.
Yeah. So I'm torn about that, man. I mean, I could have shot coyotes or turkeys or I could have shot does, but, you know.
You don't want to be out there messing up your dad's stuff.
Yeah, and I wanted him to, I just stayed out.
I after I shot Creepy this year, I mean, I shot two does, two bucks. I didn't need to shoot anymore.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to go out of state and do this? I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, but why?
Why?
Right.
Yep. You got other things to do. You got life.
Yeah. Like, I got, it's good for the biz.
Yeah, absolutely.
We covered this
already. Give you more time. Yeah.
He's like, don't worry. The other boys got us covered. Oh, wait.
Then after. Wait,
Doug and Erkel pull through. Steve just fucked him.
He'll just coast.
Then after Gene got hurt his knee, I took him a couple times out to the blind to try and get him something, too, and hoped one of them would come by. So I hunted with my dad a little bit afterwards and then Gene a couple times.
You're giving back.
I got out. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I got out, but it was different, you know.
Yeah.
It was just
I hear you.
So long. Well, not hunt. That was miserable not hunting.
We killed it, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mark.
Too bad Chandler's not here because he could bring his 2 bucks he shot, and then I'd have my two, and we'd have all the Illinois boys just spanking everybody else. Hey, we suck at everything else, but
hey, our time is coming.
Yeah.
Hey.
We're not going to include Steve on this, though.
Yeah. I mean, you don't. Fuck, you can't afford time.
Damn, bro. It's like that.
Hey, you control your own fate, sir.
Dude, Eric, you passed a big wide 8-pointer this year. I think he was 3.5, but that was a nice 8-pointer. That was a hard pass.
One that walked right by.
Yeah, big wide one. I just remember seeing a Snapchat of a big wide 8-pointer going, bro, yeah.
Bold move.
And then I was like, okay, I can see why. I can see why you passed. But, God, that had to be hard.
Mm-hmm. That shit is not easy, man, passing deer. It's I passed not. 2 bucks before Creepy that I was like, I had my heart set on Creepy.
Right.
That one of them was like probably about like my 10. Mm-hmm. I'd say high
if you would see the, if you would see the giant that we both seen in that same stand,
easy
that changes things, man.
It changes things. You would know why we passed that one.
It does.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I had Creepy at 30 yards. You know what I'm saying? So then it like changes your mindset really fast. Oh, yeah. Like it wires you different.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I had that 8-pointer that I kept telling my dad to come kill. It was a nice deer. If I wouldn't have shot this one first this year behind my house, I would have shot him for my first deer that year.
Like is it different? Like if you had a nice 135, 140s and you know you have that second bow tag.
Yeah.
Like it's easier to shoot that 135 or 140s.
Depends on your mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably shot that one then. first one.
I think it just depends on your mindset, you know. Like, most years, I just want to get a good, mature buck.
Yeah, right.
You know,
sure.
Yeah. So,
yep.
A lot of it, man, honestly, is like I'm trying to hunt big bucks, especially if you can find one and try and get on them. But
right.
If you know he's a big buck, you know, I'm not looking at him all the time. Like, I'll get a guesstimate, but I'm not going, he's 147.
Yeah.
No, he's 160. You know what I mean? I just see good deer, and I'm in. And then it's kind of like luck of the draw once I recover him.
Yeah.
That's like, what is he?
Yeah, that's what I do. So, unless you got time to study him, obviously, but usually you don't, you know?
It's different. After I shot my first buck, like, I knew he was big. And honestly, when Chandler called me after I shot him, I was like, he's between 140 and 160.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's big. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, bro, it is what it is.
It's like, come on.
Yeah. Big enough to ride in the back of my truck.
Yeah.
So
that's fun. Congrats, man. Thanks for coming back.
Appreciate it. Heck yeah. Yeah, hope I can do this every year.
Right. We'll have you twice a year.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So, better pull it together, Mark.
Yeah, right. Buck Norris next year, buddy.
Hey, no pressure.
We'll have Buck Norris in here, and we'll be able to guess his score. Yeah, he's controversial.
He'll be a
score.
Slob.
He'd be 70s.
I got a picture of him December 20th, so he made it through gun season.
Oh, yeah.
He looked
fine.
Healthy.
Why is he a little shed? He looked healthy.
Yeah. Find his sheds. We'll measure him up.
Hope so.
Yeah, he's getting Dana Pace's subcontract out.
Yeah, Dana said, we're going to give him a 23-inch.
He's going to find the shed and be chewed so, like, you can never.
Yeah, right.
You can never measure him.
And then Dana will be like, fucking squirrel patch shirts available now. LookonCosmoHunter.com.
Oh, jeez.
That's funny. Well, thanks, Mark.
Yep, thanks. Appreciate you having me. Yeah. Heck yeah.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Anytime. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.